Welcome to Breaking Through the Noise, a podcast designed to help pastors, staffs, and church leaders to proactively make more disciples in their church. We tackle the challenges you face in connecting, engaging, and guiding disciples on their spiritual journey. My name is Mark Wilson, and I'm the co-host of Breaking Through the Noise, and I'm always glad to welcome my other co-host, Charlotte Sherbakoff, a retired United Methodist pastor, to share her insight and ideas from her years in the pulpit. Charla, so as we record this episode, Tennessee, despite my lack of faith and hope, is still dancing in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And the women are too. So maybe when we record again, we'll have great news to share with our audience, or at least some of our audience.
And Mark, if we do not have good news to share, I will still hold on to my Tennessee orange sweatshirt and long sleeve shirt and short sleeve shirt and visor and cap. I will still be a University of Tennessee fan with holding on to hope.
I guess I will too. The only time I really wanted to burn my orange stuff was after a football game, but we won't go
but
into
you
that.
Didn't.
My therapist walked me through that.
That's right.
You know, and now we're in the middle. We're keep crawling into spring. The temperature's going from, you know, like it's like a roller coaster up and down, but the sun's shining and it just feels like we're almost there.
And it feels good.
Absolutely. We don't have time for chit-chat today, though. We had such a great conversation with my friend Lynn Sweet, we had to cut it into two episodes. So on this episode, we will continue our conversation with Lynn about his latest two books, Jesus Human and Designer Jesus. Charla, what stood out to you from our previous episode when we talked to Lynn about what it means to be a Jesus human?
Mark, it was that Jesus' death on the cross restored our body, minds, and souls. We are restored. We are once again fully human through Jesus Christ. And so the question now follows is, what's next? What's next for our lives? What's next? What does it mean to be fully human? You know, what's next? How do we live that out?
And that's a great question. And in this episode, we'll build on that idea throughout his book that is just coming out, or should be out when this goes live, Designer Jesus, on what living a Jesus human life looks like as followers of Jesus, or as we call ourselves, disciples. So let's continue our conversation with Dr. Leonard Sweet. So thanks for giving Charla and I a preview copy so we could do a little homework from Designer Jesus just a little before it came out.
It hasn't come out yet, but it will next week, I hope. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And this is the first mandorla cross. I created a mandorla, if you remember the Jesus Human book, I have a section on the mandorla. And this is, I think, the first mandorla cross I've been able to find. In history. So
I'll definitely put the link to the book in the show notes so that when it's available, our audience can buy it.
I'm hoping it's on Amazon next week. Okay.
But through Designer Jesus, the book, you take us through the characteristics of Jesus, from his walk to his facial features, even to his style and coolness.
So is that chapter going to get me in trouble, Mark? What do you think? I'd ask Charla that.
Yeah, I'm not ordained, so I'm not a licensed to speak on that.
Okay.
But you know, for example, in the chapter The Jesus Walk, I went back and read it a couple times. You take us from God walking with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to Jesus walking to the cross on the Via Dolorosa. And I think one of your points is that when we refer to Jesus as the way, it's more than just a metaphorical representation of the Christian life. So as disciples, how are we supposed to walk like Jesus?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a, I mean, there's so much I didn't even put in there because I just didn't have time, and the book is already big enough as it is. And I didn't want to make it any bigger, but you've got this whole, I mean, the 1 Peter 2:21 that talks about, that we're called to follow in his steps. And the Greek here is more than just in his steps. It means you follow his footprints. We're like trackers. And so we, you know, if you ever gone on a safari, the trackers, they see the trails and the tracks. And so follow it fresh, and you look for the fresh footprints. And that's where, for me, it's where to follow those fresh footprints of Jesus that is already out there in the culture, in the world, doing saving work and healing work. So partly that's why semiotics is so important, why that nudge book is so important. How do you recognize Jesus and recognize those tracks and be able to follow those fresh footprints? Look for the fresh footprints so we can follow in those footprints and track that trail.
The walk of Jesus really struck a chord with me because, one, I'm a walker. I used to be a runner. Now I'm an avid walker. But my husband and I were just talking this week. He was talking about when he was in Ranger school. He's retired military. And he said in the evenings, at night, you had to be able to identify people. And the way you identify people, even at night, when you're looking at the back of them and they walk by, he could identify who it was by their walk.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, wow. And then after I read your words, I'm like, if people can identify us as Jesus followers, as fully human by our walk, because
yeah, exactly.
So
it's more than a metaphor. And that's what I try to get in the chapter. It's more than a metaphor. There's actualists. And this was in the first century. You could tell who was studying with whom, who the students of the rabbi were. Every rabbi had a distinct gait. And so you recognize who their students were by the gait that they were trying to emulate from the rabbi itself. So what does it mean for us to kind of inhabit and convey that gait, that the Jesus gait in the world, the Jesus walk? So yeah, it's more than a metaphor. That's the point.
Yeah, we're actually supposed to do the walk.
Bingo. Yeah. and you know, it's, do you walk the talk? We were the original walkie-talkies, you know? We were the ones who were supposed to combine the talk with the walk. It's not just about the talk, which it was for the Pharisees. For Jesus, it's the walkie-talkie. Your walk reveals your talk. It's not your talk reveals your walk.
So what do you intend for with the book coming out next week? The readers, when they get the book, they read it, they take it in, hopefully have discussions with others. What do you intend for those readers to take from the Jesus discussions in Designer Jesus? To take from these Jesus discussions in Designer Jesus?
Yeah, that it's not so much Jesus has a plan for your life. It's that Jesus has a design for your living, and that each one. It's a moving from a planning, blueprint, template mode to a design mode, and that each of us has unique design. God's an artist and has designed each of us uniquely, and the more we allow Jesus to live in us and his spirit to dwell within us, the more we inhabit the original design that God has for each one of us. And so, it's really a book on, and I don't want to say this too much because, you know, I got a Presbyterian brother that I want to read this book too, but it's really a book on holiness, on what's the life of sanctification. Kind of Jesus human is more justification. Designer Jesus is more sanctification. What does it mean to live in the stream of the Spirit? where the more Christ lives in you, the more you don't become like other people, the more unique you become, the more you're an original design by this original, by this great creator, that great, the grand organizing designer, the G-O-D of the universe.
We're not carbon copies.
Yeah, no cloning in God's kingdom. And that's the problem. Yeah. Too many of Christians are, you know, there's just, you know, is the same leading the same, the bland leading the bland. I mean, we're just, you know, it's harmonious difference that Jesus emulates, even with his pick of disciples. He didn't pick disciples who were like one another, who even liked one another. What does it mean to inhabit? Not a franchise faith, but an artisanal faith, an artisanal design for living that's one of a kind, original, homemade, fresh baked, you know, right out of God's oven, each one of us.
I think sometimes we feel like, you know, this, a Christian is, we fail to see sometimes that how we are created very differently and unique. I mean, we are different personalities, different. And if we try to pretend to be one way, and that's not the way we were created.
Yeah.
Then we get away from who we are as truly human.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's why I have trouble, Charla, with apps. You know, a lot of sermons today are real appy, you know, how to have a successful marriage, how to be a better leader, how to do, you know, we have all these apps, do these 10 things, do these 7 things, the 7 habits of highly effective, you know. I really truly believe the Holy Spirit is the ultimate app. That the Holy Spirit will take the Spirit of Christ in us, as the Spirit of Christ lives in us, and will app it for our original design. Mm-hmm. And so the how we'll live out the gospel will be different for each of us. And it should be different for each of us, you know.
That's the adventure, right? Yeah. That's the adventure that Christ calls us to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. So the more we become like Jesus, the more different we become from each other, not the same.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for the church to get that.
That's one of the things I've enjoyed, and I haven't seen them all, but the Chosen episodes, the Chosen series, has done a good job of portraying the disciples, the distinct differences in their distinct personalities and how they were different. And
that's good. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm glad to hear that.
It's well done. The storytelling is well done. Obviously, they take some literary license, but not drastically, nor I think incorrectly, but it's unique to see to think about the disciples, how different they were, but then how they came together to follow Jesus, and then went their separate ways at the end to spread the gospel.
Yeah. Does Jesus have a
sense of humor? It's an unbelievable story.
Chosen?
Excuse me?
Does Jesus have a sense of humor in the Chosen?
Yes.
Okay. That's the bottom line for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And at times it's sarcastic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there's a lot. I think they do a good job, but, you know, and I'm going to be honest, the content in Designer Jesus, the book, is so thought provoking and causing me to absorb it introspectively. I haven't finished the whole book. I've skipped around but
it's meant to be able to read, you know, not as any, you can start in any order. So, yeah,
exactly. And I'm excited to introduce the book to my small groups and have discussions around how to apply these ideas of Jesus to our own lives. So my Bible study group doesn't realize it yet, but we're going to detour this summer, and that'll be our study once we finish Matthew. So,
okay. Well, they need a little condensed version of it. I mean, that's what I'm hoping you will, you know, how do we get this monster book here with how many footnotes, 800 footnotes or something?
I lost count.
I did too.
But it does seem like that this book, to me, lends itself. It is it is to be shared with others.
Yes, it is. I wrote it, and that's why the studio live section at the end of it. I mean, you at least got at the end of each chapter, like 5 to 10 pages of just discussion questions, exercises.
Yeah, feel like that's where you really go, are able to really go deeper and think about it. It's not a book you read fast.
No, yeah. Yeah, and I try and make every sentence more of a epigrammatic, and so they're a little like dynamite, little slow, long fused little explosions that take place. So yeah, I hope it's a fun book. It's meant to be light and enticing but comprehensive. I mean, Jesus Human and Designer Jesus. Some books take me a month to write. I mean, I wrote a book, one of my favorite books that I wrote, called Bad Habits of Jesus. I wrote it in 1 month. These two books took me a lifetime. I mean, this is basically a lifetime of reflecting and reading and praying about the life of faith and the essence of what it means to be a Jesus follower. And now I call it a Jesus Human.
Well, I do really appreciate those discussion questions as a pastor, as Mark, as you, as a small group leader. I think that really helps. I learn through talking with others, taking what I've read and seeing how somebody else took that. And I think that lends itself very well to that.
Yeah. And they're more than discussion questions too, as you know, as I bring in new content.
Yes.
And I'll go in a whole thing that I didn't develop in the chapter itself and just go down a little rabbit hole with you a little bit. And, so there, it's meant to be fun and light and airy but provocative at the same time.
You know, we're talking here and we're just getting close to Holy Week and Easter. And I think about what you said about being fully human and how it lends it, the book will really lend itself, I think, is a great an Easter season book as far as talking about just us being fully human and what does it mean for Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection.
Exactly right. Yeah, and we're one of the great issues of our time is what does it mean to be human? We got artificial intelligence, we got neural links, we got augmentations. So the question of what does it mean to be human, and then what for us? What does it mean to be a Jesus human? Even takes that further. So these two questions of humanity and what is a human. That's why I think we need our birth story. So Genesis 1 and 2, 3. So it's so important to get that and to get it right, get the story down. So we live.
Yeah, sometimes people, they back away from wanting to share someone's birth story with someone because they think it's too messy or it's, but every birth story, even the messy ones, brings life, right?
Yeah, well, our first birth story is a messy one.
right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, we shy away from sometimes sharing those birth stories our first one was pretty messy.
Yeah, you got the first family is your first dysfunctional family, actually. And you find me another functional family in the Bible after that. Every family you meet is dysfunctional. So,
amen.
That's why you can trust the Bible. It tells the story. It tells it as it is. It's not mythology that creates all these wonderful little scenarios that are idyllic. No, you get raw, real, actual, authentic reality here.
But we've got God's breath in us.
We've got God's breath in us.
All the difference. So what final thoughts would you like to share with the readers here on this podcast about either or both of these books?
Well, I think the most important thing is that identity is an issue of our culture. And what identity do you live out of? And what these books are based on is that we were meant to live out of an identity that is based on the Jesus story. And I really argue, Charla, that identity requires narrative form. You can't build an identity on values. You can't build an identity on virtues. You can't build an identity on verses. Even you can't build an identity on a worldview. You need a narrative, a story. And we have the greatest story never told because we don't know it as a story. And this is our identity, is this story that starts in Genesis. And so it's the story of what does it mean to be human? And what is the essence of being human? And then to what lengths will God go to restore our humanity to us? And so this is what we need to, this is what's missing, why we're losing our children. We can't reproduce the faith in our kids, in our churches, in our communities, in our tribes, because we've tried to find our identity in other things other than this Jesus story that is found in the scriptures. So most importantly, it's, and every story has to have an author. And one of the biggest questions in life is, who are you going to allow to author your life story? Because your author is your authority. It's the same word. And whoever you allow to author your story becomes your authority for life. And we've got kids, this celebrity culture. Our kids say, okay, I'm going to outsource part of the authorship to Taylor Swift, or I'm going to outsource part of the authorship. I mean, the average human in America, average person in America spends 56 minutes a day on TikTok. Now, I don't spend any time on it, but the average person, that's just average of everybody in the U.S., 56 minutes a day. Kind of in some ways outsourcing our authorship of our story. Well, I want part of my story to look like Pink, you know, or I want part of my story to look like Jason Kelsey. So what I'm arguing is the only one worthy of authoring. You say, well, I'm going to write my own life story. Okay, then you're your own authority then. If you're the author of your own life story, the only one I trust to write my life story is Jesus. He is the author and finisher of my story. But that author, it has a unique design for my story. It's a unique plot line. It's a unique whole set of action scenes. And he's the only one worthy of authoring my life story is Jesus. And he is, hence designer Jesus. He is the design and the author of my life story. And he's the only one I can trust. And so I'm hoping that people will realize that that they have a unique, God has a unique design for their life. It's a design that God has just for them, that they were created in God's image that is unlike anyone else that's ever been created in all of humanity. Each one of us has unique design imprint. And designer Jesus is supposed to, and is designed itself to help reveal that and help them develop that in their own life.
Those are great thoughts to end on, and I appreciate you sharing those with us. Thanks, Lynn, for joining us. And
hey,
Charla, I'm going to take just a quick moment of personal privilege because I can. And as I've gotten older in my old age, you know, I've tried to start taking opportunities to share gratitude with people that have poured into my life, and I've missed opportunities, so I don't want to miss this one. My friendship with Lynn will soon span almost 30 years. I was thinking about that the other day, my friend. And I just want to thank you for being a friend, a mentor, a supporter, a motivator, and a guide. Whether it's been in person walking on a trail in West Virginia or through an email or a podcast, thank you for being there for me.
For common friends too. I mean, you know, Steve Salee is the one that brought us together, and we can't let his name go unmentioned today.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thanks again, Lynn. Thanks, Charla. And
yeah, thank you for
Charla.
I love being part of this. Thank you.
Love you being a part of it.
You know, Mark, what a great conversation. It's really got my mind, my heart, everything going. But what really stands out to me was when we talked about fresh footprints, not old fresh prints, footprints, but like trackers, we are looking for fresh footprints to follow, that Jesus is alive and in this world, healing, saving. And so we look for those fresh prints and join him in his work.
Yeah, I thought that was, that struck me too. I hadn't thought of it that way. And like I said, Lynn always brings out a new perspective in me about how to view things. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, those fresh footprints. But also, what does it mean for Jesus to have a design? Not so much a plan, but a design for our lives. And that's a different way of thinking. Plan versus design, and not just a rubber stamp for every single person as far as no cloning in God's kingdom, but a design for our lives, for my life, for your life, Mark, and how that gets lived out in our own unique way.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the book Designer Jesus, he literally goes through, Lynn goes through a lot of the characteristics of Jesus the human that we would use to describe each other at times. And it's interesting how we see the design for our life through the life of Jesus. You know, we talked about how the Gospel of Matthew, if we read it through the lens of the Old Testament prophets, it's less about Jesus fulfilling prophecy, because those prophets were prophesying for their own time in most cases, but that it was Jesus living out the life that Adam and the children of Israel were supposed to live out in the original creation in the garden. So, you know, how that is designed into us. And it, you know, that distinction between a plan versus a design, you know, a plan, you almost infer that, well, you know, you can adjust your plan, or you can go to plan B.
Right. Well,
there's not a plan B.
Yeah. You know, also he really, towards the end of our conversation, I think we really got into something so important, particularly in the time that we are living in, is that our identity is found in the greatest story ever told. And here we are post-Easter Sunday, but we are still in the Easter season, when we've been telling the greatest story, that Jesus is the author of our story. So Jesus is our authority, and we get to choose who will author our story. And so if we choose Jesus to be the author of our story, then we live into what it means to be fully human.
Absolutely. That idea of authorship of our lives is something we kind of, you know, we talk about, we might give it some credence, but if we're really living that out, that Jesus authored our life and is the authority and the designer, and that we're designed truly in God's image, which means we were designed in Jesus's image, you know, that creates a, maybe that's why I don't give it as much authority in my mind, because that's daunting, because we think of Jesus, the Son of God, not Jesus, the man that walked the roads of Galilee and Nazareth and Jerusalem, you know, with his best friends preaching the good news of, you know, creation.
It is daunting, but he also makes that point about the original app, the Holy Spirit, that that is within, that is in us and lives in us and leads and guides us. And I had not really thought about that. We live in an app world, right? Like, I mean, we have an app for everything, but the Holy Spirit is the original app for our lives.
Yeah, I like that correlation he made. And again, we delete apps. I delete apps from my phone
The
time.
Yeah, I do too.
But you can't delete your operating system, and that operating system is the Holy Spirit.
Now, Mark, that will preach.
Every now and then. Every now and then, Charlie, I come up with something. So,
you
and
do.
Actually, I stole that from Lynn, because in a book 20 years ago, he talked about our operating system.
Yeah, I like that. I cannot wait to read the entire book. And it should be out now, shouldn't it? If not, it's very close, as he said.
Absolutely. It should be on Amazon when this episode goes live. It's Designer Jesus. The previous book we talked about in the previous episode has been out, Jesus Human. And the books go together. They Jesus Human and then Designer Jesus kind of flow together. And
this is who you are, and then this is what's next.
Right.
So one and two. And I think both lend themselves to excellent small group studies. Or a preaching series, I think, would be good as well.
And they're both huge books. I'm going to just be honest. When you get on and look at it, they're big books. You don't have to necessarily read them sequentially. Both of them are designed to jump around a little bit. But we're also working, Lynn and I are working on some other resources to help with that small group, with preaching and teaching resources. So hopefully those will be out soon as well.
Well, I really enjoyed the conversation and looking forward to really digging into all these books have to offer. But one more thing, that if you are new to the show or haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast and you'll be automatically updated when new episodes come out, because we've got some new ones coming out that you do not want to miss. And if you liked what you hear, give us a nice review so more people can find us and the help that they need. And then please make sure to share the podcast with your friends.
Yeah, Charla, all the books and resources we talked about will be listed in the show notes for this episode. I highly recommend Lynn's podcast, Napkin Scribbles. It's set up in series of episodes, so you can go through groups, and they're only about 10 minutes each. They're great little nuggets of information, and I highly recommend that, and you'll find that there too. And I just want to say thanks to all our audience for investing a few minutes with us on the podcast today. We hope Breaking Through the Noise will be your go-to resource for making more disciples in your church. Let's get connected. Our contact information and links are in the show notes. Our theme music is from The Young Fables. Check out all their latest music on Spotify or wherever you listen to music. Have a great week, and we can't wait to talk to you again next time on Breaking Through the Noise.